The date is February 16th, 1996, and we're watching Happy Gilmore. Welcome to I Used to Like This One.
Hello and welcome to I Used to Like This One, the show where we take a look back at movies we remember fondly from our childhood and attempt to look past the nostalgia to see if they still hold up. My name is Sean Wells, and with me, as always, is the Chubbs Peterson to my Happy Gilmore.
Oh, hello. I'm Colin Stewart.
I mean, you don't get much more badass than Carl Weathers.
That's true.
But I did go back and forth about possibly referring to you as my auto. So I thought that could be fun too, but
yeah.
Let's go with the obvious. It's all in the hips, baby. It's all in the hips.
Nice.
So this week we're looking back at February 1996 when the movies in theaters were Black Sheep, Broken Arrow, White Squall, Neverending Story 3, and of course, our movie for today, Happy Gilmore, which earned $41.2 million on a $12 million budget.
That's a decent lineup.
I did throw Neverending Story 3 in there. You did hear that one, right?
Yeah, I mean, after Broken Arrow, I felt like, you know.
Yeah, okay. Just checking.
And as always, you know, guys, this is just a PSA for you, but having a movie spoiled for you can be like having a nail stuck in your head. We don't want that to happen to anybody. So please, if you haven't seen this movie, press pause now, go watch it, and then come back and hear what we have to say.
So, the tagline that appears on the poster for this movie is, he doesn't play golf, he destroys it.
That's good, yeah.
But that may not be the best description of the movie, so let's go to Colin for a 60-second synopsis.
Alright, here we go. When the IRS comes after his tax-evading grandma, failed hockey player Happy Gilmore discovers an underlying talent for crushing golf balls. Seeing an opportunity to make some money to buy his grandma's house back, Happy enters a golf tournament at the insistence of local golf coach Chubbs, and wins, landing himself a spot on the PGA Tour, which draws the ire of pro golfer Shooter McGavin. Will Happy be able to control his temper and overcome his lack of a short game in time to stay on the tour and take down Shooter? Is the price wrong or right? Did the guy who played Happy's caddy actually become a professional golfer in real life? Let's find out on another episode of I Used to Like This One.
Right on. Yeah, I know for me, this one right here, this was my introduction to Adam Sandler. I know Billy Madison came out before this, Airheads came out before this, but Happy Gilmore was the first feature film that I had seen Adam Sandler in. I have such a soft spot for Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
And I know there are those people out there, that the haters out there, that just, oh, he's so annoying and all that sort of thing. And sure, he has a couple missteps, maybe, with things like Waterboy and everything like that. But Happy Gilmore, this has always been one of my go-to feel good, I just want something in the background that's going to make me chuckle movies. And I realize it's been a while since I've seen it, but that right there, though, that's Happy Gilmore for me. Maybe this and Tommy Boy, you know, those are kind of my two. And Road Trip is a third one. But anyway, that's my love of Happy Gilmore. What about you, Colin? What experience do you have with Happy Gilmore before now?
I would say mine would be very similar. Like, Happy Gilmore was definitely my introduction to Adam Sandler. Mm-hmm. I think the second Adam Sandler movie I watched was probably Big Daddy.
Okay.
And then I loved Big Daddy. I love Mr. Deeds.
Mm-hmm.
Those three movies are probably like my favorite Adam Sandler movies for sure.
And I know for me, I'd have to say that Wedding Singer is probably one of my favorite rom-coms of all time. Yeah.
Yeah, Wedding Singer. I love that movie so much. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Mr. Deeds was definitely my introduction. And like I still, I mean, not Mr. Deeds. Frick. Happy Gilmore was definitely my introduction.
Yeah.
And yeah, I agree with that. I love Adam Sandler to this day. I still watch like all his Netflix movies.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Uncut Gems, I have to say that was a great,
yeah,
different Adam Sandler, but you still kind of saw a little bit of Billy Madison happening with his character in Uncut Gems. But even Hubie Halloween, that one was all fan service. But they're yeah, I kind of
I watched
like
Hubie Halloween. I watched that one he did with Spade, the do-over. I think it's called, where he's like, it's like half action movie, half comedy. Yeah, I watched Don't Mess With The Zohan not too long ago. I really liked
too.
That one.
Me too.
I like The Ridiculous Six is good. I haven't watched The Waterboy in a while, but I remember loving that movie as well. There's not really an Adam Sandler movie I can say that I didn't really enjoy that I've seen.
I have to say the voice he puts on in Little Nicky is kind of annoying for me.
Yeah.
You know, the release the sunshine, you know, like, yeah. But yeah.
But it's weird because I feel like, I don't know, Happy Gilmore is the one that I probably would go back to most often.
Mm-hmm.
It is really good, like you said. It's kind of like the Office of movies for me.
Yeah.
Where
there
it is like a nice movie to just have on in the background. You don't really need to pay attention to it because you know it so well that no matter when you chime back in, your brain instantly just like, it's almost like your brain has it running in the background anyways, and you know everything that's happened, you know what's going to happen, you know why it's still funny and that kind of stuff. And so, yeah, that's my best description of Happy Gilmore, probably. It's lots of reviews that I read in preparation for this episode talk about how it's comfort viewing at its finest.
Mm-hmm.
It's like if it's one of those movies, if you don't know what to watch and you just want to watch something funny that'll make you laugh
as well,
and feel
put
good,
this in.
Happy Gilmore. Yeah. Happy Gilmore's the one.
Yeah. Well, let's get into Happy Gilmore. It's directed by Dennis Dugan, who directed Problem Child, Benchwarmers, Saving Silverman, Beverly Hills Ninja, Big Daddy, Just Go With It, Grown Ups 1 and 2, Jack and Jill, I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry, and You Don't Mess With The Zohan. So, you know, I think this guy likes working with Saturday Night Live people.
Yeah.
It's produced by Robert Simmons, who was a producer on Airheads, Billy Madison, Bulletproof, Waterboy, Wedding Singer, Little Nicky. Of course, he stopped producing Adam Sandler stuff after that, but I'm thinking Little Nicky was probably about the time that Happy Madison Productions came along.
Yeah.
And that might be why they didn't need a dedicated producer anymore. He's also a producer on Half-Baked, Hardcore Henry, Problem Child 1, 2, and 3, and the cartoon. And it's written by Tim Herlihy, whose whole credit list is Saturday Night Live or Adam Sandler stuff. And it's also written by Adam Sandler, who is written on Saturday Night Live and many of his own movies, but not all of his own movies, which I found unusual. Like, he's a writer on Hotel Transylvania 2, but not 1 or 3. Or he's not a writer on The Cobbler. But one of the things that he wasn't on, he was also a writer in Bucky Larson, Born to Be a Star.
Yeah.
And he did five episodes of MTV's Remote Control, which I don't know if you remember this. I vaguely remember it because, I mean, you know, we're Canadian, so we had much music. But Remote Control was like a game show that MTV had. But it was a funny thing. I do not remember it at all. Oh, yeah. But yeah, he was a writer on five episodes of that. So that was pre-Saturday Night Live.
I feel like I have to feel like the Hotel Transylvania ones might just be like he was involved in rewrites.
Yeah.
Like maybe specifically around his character.
Probably. So we open the movie on the song Tuesday's Gone, and we get the voiceover. My name is Happy Gilmore, I love hockey, and his dad has taught him the greatest slap shot in the world. And then we see that dad gets killed by a puck that hits him in the face, and it's all videotaped, because these are all home videos. I've always wondered about the transition, though, from the point where he gets hit with the puck and falls over, and then when the camera is looking up at the ceiling, like, it's very obviously like a different shot. Like I've never quite understood the setup of this.
I was also curious, like I'm all for when his dad is taking the videos in this opening montage.
Yeah.
But after his dad is dead, like who's taking the video when he walks up to his grandma's house and all this stuff?
I never thought of that. Yeah, that's very true. All of a sudden he's got a documentary crew following him around or something.
Yeah.
So he had to go live with his grandmother, and he also talks about how he has a bad temper, which obviously is going to be a very important detail throughout this movie. I love the line where they're filming at the... Again, here's the documentary crew filming at the kid's birthday party. I still love the line where he says, "You see that kid right there? He stole my party blower, so I just hit him in the head a bunch of times with a hammer." So, and we also find out that he had the most time spent in the penalty box, and he was the first guy who ever took off his skate to try to stab somebody.
Yeah.
I want to know the logistics, though, of... how that is something that he did during a game. I mean, I've put on hockey skates. They take like a good 10 minutes to put on if you want them tightened properly. And then they take almost as long to take off.
The thing is, too, is he also mentions that he can't skate very well.
Yeah.
So if you can't skate very well, that at the very least means you had to take off both skates. Because if you can't skate good, you're definitely not going to do well with one skate and one bare foot on ice.
Yeah. But I just,
but yeah,
I have this picture of him sitting on the bench, like loosening his skates so that he can get out there. And
yeah.
that's what I had in my head was, instead of taking both skates off, he just loosened one a lot so it would come off in a hurry.
Yeah.
This, of course, is Happy Gilmore, played by Adam Sandler. We've already mentioned a big chunk of his movies here. Of course, earlier in his career, he had a reoccurring role as Smitty on The Cosby Show.
Hmm.
He was in Coneheads, Airheads, Mixed Nuts, Shakes the Clown, and once played a drug dealer in an ABC After School special.
Oh, really?
That's what he did before everybody knew his name.
Hmm.
So then we also... Man, you've really got me thinking about who is filming this, because we see him at all his different jobs.
Yeah.
Doing, like, the penis jokes, which still make me howl every time, where everything is stuck between his legs and being thrusted. My favorite is still the gas station, and it makes me think of Zoolander, where they're, like...
The gasoline fight.
The gasoline fight. And we see him shoot Mr. Larson in the head with a nail gun, because he's pretty good with a nail gun.
Yeah.
Mr. Larson, of course, is played by Richard Kiel, who is best known as Jaws in the James Bond classic, The Spy Who Loved Me, and also Moonraker, one of the few bad guys that came back for multiple James Bond movies, until Daniel Craig era, that is.
Oh, that's cool.
But I want to know, how did Mr. Larson get the helmet off with the nail still stuck in his head when we see him later on?
Yeah, I've always wondered that too, like, because I mean, you would need like a saw type device to cut along, and that guy's got a pretty big dome. Mm-hmm.
It feels like it would have been easier to, like, if you're not going to pull the nail out, at least cut it off so you could pull the helmet off without the head off, of the nail being there. And so now we're in present day. Happy Gilmore is trying out for the hockey team, with the coaches saying, "Jesus, is that Gilmore again?" And he doesn't make the cut, even though he's got the most amazing slap shot that shatters glass. And I've never liked the glass shattering in front of the coaches as they're sitting there watching, because it's always bugged me that you don't see a puck.
Yeah.
The glass just shatters.
That's a good point. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
It kind of reminded me of, like, I was thinking, maybe it's just because I've been watching Game Changers, and we just watched Mighty Ducks not too long ago, but I was like,
yeah,
Happy Gilmore is almost the prototype for Fulton Reed.
Yeah.
or vice versa, maybe.
Yeah.
But these movies came out like around the same time, I think.
Well, Mighty Ducks was first.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe the other way around then.
At least Fulton Reed learns how to skate, though.
Indeed.
You know, by the end of the movie, he's a decent skater.
Yeah, so. I mean, like 10, 15 years younger, maybe Happy Gilmore could have been on District 5.
Yeah. He probably was, or on the equivalent of whatever city they're in. What city are they in?
I'm not sure. He wears a Bruins jersey, so I've always kind of just assumed they're in, like, Boston or, like, New England area.
Yeah. But he goes home to see his girlfriend, who is sick of his shit. The subway. I mean, it starts right here with, I knew the guy that worked there. I used to go to high school with him, so I got extra meatballs. Man, I need that hookup at Subway. But, you know, I've never been a fan of his first girlfriend anyway. Mm-hmm. There's something about her that she looks kind of Shannon Doherty-like to me.
Yeah.
And I guess I've always associated her in this with Shannon Doherty and Mallrats, and they're the same kind of bitchy girlfriends.
It was kind of weird. I don't know why, but maybe I'm mixing Sandler movies together, but I was shocked this watch because I was like, I could have sworn there was more between him and the girl. But I think I might be mistaking that relationship with his relationship in The Wedding Singer. Like, I thought there was more to that, but she's just kind of gone right away.
Yeah, no, she's in one scene. And we never do find out what happens to his hookup that he's about to get here, because as he's talking through the speaker, and I still love all this where he's like licking the thing, and we see we see him like going back and forth between being like angry being no baby, I didn't mean it,
sappy.
He's an abuser.
He's an emotional manipulator.
Yeah. But yes, and then he ends up allowing the little old Asian woman to come in and do whatever, because we obviously know what happens, since she's wearing one of his jerseys the next morning, and that's it, and saying, you don't want breakfast? But yes, he gets a phone call. He finds out grandma hasn't paid her taxes in over a decade, so he heads over there to try to find out what's going on. And I love the moment where the moving guys are trying to take grandma's couch out of the house, and he jumps and lands on the couch. Brilliant move.
Yes.
Grandma is played by Frances Bay, who we talked about in our Karate Kid episode. She has 174 credits. Her first was an episode of Kojak in 1976. But he says, it's okay, grandma. You know, at least we still got the house. And the IRS guy, who is Robert Smeagol, says, you know, no, now you're really going to be mad. Your grandma has $270,000 in back taxes. So now we're headed with grandma to Shady Acres rest home. And I've never understood Meester Lady. What is the deal?
I don't know. I feel like that's just, there's something about those like shock scenes. Well, I mean, that is one of like the facets of comedy, but I feel like those were like really prevalent in 90s comedies. Like, it's just a complete throwaway scene, but it's so memorable and like weirdly funny because it's just so shocking and unexpected.
And then you get the callback a little bit later with it. But I remember with this one, when I first saw this movie, the first couple times, I thought it was a guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like I thought that was the extra comedy, is that it was a guy, you know, supposed to be a woman, but it was a guy playing her. So I don't think it is, though.
No.
Grandma asks how Happy's girlfriend is, and he says, oh, she got hit by a car. She's dead. I love how he has a different excuse every time he talks about his girlfriend. And then we get Mr. Hal comes in to welcome them to Shady Acres, and we've got Ben Stiller. And oh my God, you realize after I saw There's Something About Mary, I still had no idea this was Ben Stiller.
He does look so different in this movie for some reason. He looks bigger for one, like stockier. He doesn't look like the, and I think it's because he doesn't have that spiky, that weird spiky hair that he tends to have in like later movies around that time.
Or maybe it's something about the handlebar mustache. Because handlebar mustaches must be magic or something. Because I remember Office Space has Diedrich Bader in it.
Yeah.
And he's the neighbor in that one, and he's got the handlebar mustache in that. And I remember the first time I saw Office Space, and I was a Drew Carey Show watcher. I did not know that was Diedrich Bader.
That's
and
awesome.
I think it's the same thing. It's the lower voice, and it's the handlebar mustache, and it's the different attitude. Like, it's, I don't know. But man, he's just so funny. And since finding out that he's Ben Stiller, like, he's just even more funny for some reason.
It was really funny for me because I mean, you lent me your DVD. I don't know if you watched it, but I watched the blooper reel.
In the
special features. And it's so funny. Like, half of them are just Ben Stiller cracking.
Yeah.
Because he's such a, like, nice guy. Like, he's a nice, funny guy.
Yeah.
And then it's weird to see him in this movie where he's, like, an asshole. Like,
oh, yeah.
Not as bad as when he's like, Tony Perkins in Heavyweights, but still, like,
I feel like Whitey in Dodgeball is kind of the same way, too.
Yeah. He's a little, I mean, in Heavyweights, he's, like, meant to be stupid and funny. In this movie, he's a little bit more, like, mean, I guess. Because he's, you know, elder abuse, basically.
Yeah.
You can definitely tell that being a bad guy is not really
his
forte.
Yeah, because I remember, like this came out in 96, so I was in grade 12. I was in my senior year of high school at the time, and I remember the line, "You can trouble me for a warm glass of shut the hell up," was a big line for a while there. You're in my world now, Grandma. I do like how Happy Gilmore pulls out a $1 bill to try to bribe him to take good care of his grandma. Crumpled up one. Outstanding, Happy.
Yeah.
You the man. So he gets back home and he's trying to get the moving guys to hurry up and get back to work because he's got a game that he wants to watch. How are these moving guys so terrible at golf?
Yeah, I know. Especially because it seems like this is something they do on the regular.
Yeah. I mean, the first time that I ever picked up a golf club and swung it at a ball, I hit the ball.
Yeah.
I didn't go far, but I at least didn't drive the club right into the dirt.
Yeah.
It's a very simple motion, guys.
Basically.
So they say, well, we'll get back to work if you can hit the ball further than mine, which, you know, they had knocked like 3 feet. So he says, okay, give me the stupid club. Yeah. Look at this stupid thing. So they have the driving contest, and he ends up firing this ball all the way down the block, and you hit that guy. He shouldn't have been standing there. Oh my god,
I love that scene. There's something about when the wife comes out and like gets beaned in the head and falls down the front of the house. It just makes me laugh every single time.
Yeah. And so the idea forms in his mind to go down to the local driving range and see if you can outdrive the amazing golf ball whacker guy. And he's just hitting homers all over the place here.
It's funny to me that Happy has such an aversion to golf being a hockey player, because I don't know, anybody who like has followed the NHL knows that
they golf in the off season.
Golf is like the second sport to most hockey players.
Yeah. And it's similar motions. I mean, Wayne Gretzky has, like, his own invitational that he does every year. So, you're right, absolutely. He just thinks it's dumb.
Yeah.
But I've never understood the line here where he says, hey, let's see if I can hit it over the highway. And then you watch as he hits it as far as the netting. And it's just like, well, how are you going to hit it over the highway anyway? But they still pay up. I don't think he hit it over the highway. But this is where we see Chubbs Peterson, and he's in the middle of a bad golf lesson with someone that's not very good.
Mm-hmm.
Chubbs Peterson is played by Carl Weathers, famously from Predator, Rocky. He was Apollo Creed, and Action Jackson. He voiced Jax in Mortal Kombat X, which I found interesting.
Oh, wow.
And also Combat Carl in Toy Story. And lately, just absolutely killing it in The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
But yeah, he says he's going to play, and by God, he's going to win. He's going to figure out a way to harness this amazing drive that Happy Gilmore has. And he catches up with Happy at a batting cage. The kid in this scene, hey, mister, you need to wear a helmet when you're in there. Don't worry about it. And so he's taking speed balls to the chest in this batting cage because he's got to toughen up for next season.
I mean, I love that scene. I've always thought it was super funny, but I never realized how much.
Oh, that hurt a little, but it felt good.
I never realized how much that would hurt until I went to the. It's not around in Edmonton anymore, but we used to have that White Mud Amusement Park, and they had barricades there. And I went one time, and I just wanted to see how fast, like, the highest setting would be, like, the 100-mile-per-hour pitch or whatever.
Yeah.
And that ball flies at you so fast, like, it would knock you unconscious. I couldn't imagine taking one to the stomach, let alone the forehead.
Yeah. But, yes, he's got to toughen up for next hockey season, because it's only 364 days left. And this is when Chubbs tells him, you're going to give that shit up and focus on golf. And he tells Happy a bit about his backstory, saying that, you know, he could have gone pro, but they wouldn't let him play. And he says, why? Because you're black? And he goes, no, damn alligator bit my hand off. And he holds up, okay, what is the deal with the fake hand? I mean, okay, first of all, I love how carefully they hide it up until this point with him hiding it behind his back the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
But is it intentional that it looks this fake? Because, like, his arm is longer than any arm ever.
Yeah.
Like, his forearm is a good 6 inches longer than it should be.
Yeah.
Because of this. Like, it's, I've never understood, though, whether it's intentional that they wanted it to look as bad as possible, or whether they just couldn't figure out a better way to hide his hand.
I'm going to go on the side of, like, they probably just didn't care
okay.
to make it look as good as it possibly could.
Yeah.
And they were just like, ah, we need this guy to have a fake hand, mm-hmm. and so, like, here's the fake hand, just make it work, just figure out, get him a shirt with one longer sleeve, like the end of Let Us Go. We have more important things to worry about.
Yeah, because I know that I was in a production of Rent. I was cast mm-hmm. in the ensemble, and I made the actor choice that I was a veteran from the Vietnam War. So I decided to go with a fake hand. Like, I had built myself this thing with a hook in it, and this movie is the reason why I was very conscious about how I held my arm in my costuming mm-hmm. to make sure that my arm wasn't 6 inches longer, that, you know, so that it looked like it was natural.
Yeah.
So if this movie did anything, it at least showed me how ridiculous this fake hand is in this movie.
Yeah.
So he tells Happy that he's going to get the gold jacket that he never got. And Happy just really doesn't care. Gold jacket, green jacket, who gives a shit? So he's walking Happy to his car. See, and this is where the arm is the most obvious ever, is where Happy pulls the hockey stick out of his trunk and he starts hitting cans with it and then accidentally hits Chubbs' hand into the parking lot. But it's like, it's so far out there that it didn't want to accidentally hit Carl Weathers with the hockey stick or something. But yeah, and then we've got the, don't worry about that, it's made of wood, it's real sturdy, and that's when the truck drives over it. But as Happy drives away, Chubbs yells after him, I thought you were trying to make the big bucks. And so he's now made a new choice in his life. You know, hey, Chubbs, what kind of big bucks? So he ends up going to the tournament. I love when the limo pulls up and says, well, whoa, must be Burt Reynolds or something. I love that Burt Reynolds is his go-to movie star. Like, it's so in character.
Yeah.
But I love the guy in front of him where Chubbs says, thanks for dressing up. And he points at the guy in front of him and says, well, if I wore clothes like that, I'd have to kick my own ass. But I love when they cut to the front. This guy is extra cheesy from the front. Like, have you ever made note of this extra in the movie? Oh, yeah, because he's got this cheesy little mustache. He's kind of Stan Lee looking. But I don't know. I think if I was a professional golfer, I would lean into that look.
Yeah.
You know, the extra cheesy, over the top. Like, there are a couple. I think John Daly is one of them that is out there that he likes to go overboard with his outfits. I know there's one. I know there's one for sure.
I was going to say, I feel like now, like, golf, it's a little bit more fashionable.
Yeah.
Or more, like, athletic looking. Mm-hmm. I feel like even in this movie, it's a little bit more, it still, like, looks pretty formal.
Yeah.
But then, I mean, I guess then sometimes they have, like, the shorts, which look like they're a little too short sometimes. But the only golf uniform I ever remember is the Tiger Woods, like, red shirt, black pants.
Yeah, yeah. So then we get to meet Shooter McGavin, who is played by Christopher McDonald from Thelma and Louise, Quiz Show, Ballers, where he played the owner of the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Fanboys. And he played Mr. Stifler in one of those American Pie movies, Beta House.
Oh, wow.
So it's kind of fun to think of Shooter McGavin married to Jennifer Coolidge, you know?
Yeah.
At one point. And we also meet Virginia Vennett, who is played by Julie Bowen, who is probably best known for her role in Modern Family. Also recurring roles in Boston Legal, Weeds, and Lost. She was in Horrible Bosses, Hubie Halloween, that classic, and a movie called Amy's Orgasm.
What?
Which, the description of Amy's Orgasm is, it's a story of a 29-year-old Ivy League-educated self-help author as she grudgingly falls for a shock jock radio host with a reputation for hitting on his bimbo guests.
So Howard Stern.
It's almost like, it's like a story that would go well with his movie, Private Parts. Mm-hmm. You know, because in Private Parts, he's basically playing himself in that one. But Virginia is the PR person for the tour, and she introduces herself to Shooter McGavin, and he says, you know what would be great? If I could get a Pepsi. Oh, miss? Diet. So we find out pretty quickly what an asshole Shooter McGavin is. He makes a speech, and we find out that the winner of today's tournament is going to go on tour. So Happy gets down to business, and he gets paired up with Mr. Lafferty, and he gets assigned a caddy. So now, you said in your opening 60-second synopsis, is this guy... Did you do any research into... Because I know Adam Sandler tweeted a picture of a recent golf tournament where he says, so proud of this kid. Is it because this kid just looks like the caddy from Happy Gilmore, or did this kid actually grow up to become a golfer?
So yeah, unfortunately, they're not the same guy.
Okay. It is just a joke about the guy's looks. Okay.
Yeah, so the guy, I'm not sure if he won the Masters or not, but yeah, that golfer, the golfer's name is Will Zalatorius.
Okay.
And then the guy who played the caddy, his name is Jared Van Snellenberg.
Okay.
And they do look strikingly similar, which is very odd.
Yeah.
But yeah, not the same guy.
It's not the same kid. That's too bad. And so the caddy says, what should I do? And he says, well, just keep me from doing anything stupid. And then immediately out of the gate, doesn't tell Happy that he has to move out of Lafferty's way so that because he's teeing off now. And we've got the, where were you on that one, dipshit?
Yeah.
I like his relationship with this caddy. I mean, like, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I've often wondered, like, if, well, I know they filmed at, like, a few different golf courses, but I sometimes wonder with characters like that, if it was just, you know, it just happened to be somebody who was there and they just found him.
Yeah.
And they're just like, oh, we just need to fill a spot right now. Like,
yeah, he was actually a caddy that worked at the golf course or something. Yeah.
That'd be a cool memory.
So Lafferty tees off. It's probably the only good one he'll hit all day. And then Happy has his turn and just crushes the ball. Goes all the way to the green, and then we find out that his short game is terrible, and Chubbs is trying to get him to relax, showing him that it's all in the hips. But yeah, we've got the, whoa, 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 you're confusing me, just let me put the ball in the hole. And we've got the guy in the crowd that says, this is pathetic, oh, it's about time. Yeah, it is about time, I just couldn't get the ball in the hole. And then ends up jerseying the guy,
yeah,
knocking him out. And then on the next hole, he gets the hole in one. He shoots, he scores. So much easier than putting. I should just try to get the ball in the hole on the first shot every time.
I feel like me and Happy Gilmore have the exact opposite problem when it comes to playing golf, because I suck at driving.
Yeah.
But I play a lot of mini golf, so I'm actually fairly good at putting.
Yeah. You've got a mean short game.
Yeah.
But Virginia is, of course, so excited about someone that can get a hole-in-one on a par four. Someone like that would draw a crowd. And Shooter says, you know what else would draw a crowd? A golfer with an arm growing out of his ass. I love Shooter. He's got some of the best moments in this movie. Like, you just gotta love to hate Christopher McDonald.
Yeah.
You know?
The movie really isn't anything without Shooter.
No.
Like, it wouldn't be fun if it was just about Happy, like kind of like learning how to play golf. Like, Shooter as the foil really, really makes the movie, because he's so petulant and his insults are so stupid, and I don't know. Yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah, great deliveries too. Like, I always thought that with Wedding Singer, the boyfriend in that one was kind of the Shooter wannabe.
Yeah.
And I always wished that it was Shooter that was the boyfriend. So we get our jump around montage where some things are going good for him and some things aren't, you know, and when they aren't, he's of course strangling his caddy. And he's four shots away from winning his place on the pro tour. He's just got to tap it in. He's just got to get that ball in there. And he manages to do it. Happy is going to be going on the pro tour. I like the, this is cool, I've never won a trophy before. Maybe I can get the guy at the trophy store to take the goofy golf guy up and put a little hockey guy up there. So he talks to Virginia, though, and she says, the winner next week gets $268,000. And so Happy asks, well, what does last place get? Well, they get $2,800. Cool. So either way, I get some money. I want to know, though, what is, like, is that kind of an accurate amount of money that a person would get? Obviously, it's probably gone up from inflation.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you think last place actually gets? Like, is there a prize for last place? There must be, right? Otherwise, people wouldn't be doing that for a living.
Let's see. Do a quick... Well, yeah, maybe. It says, so, like, in a PGA tournament, I guess, a match, there's, like, a purse of money And so this is saying 18% of a standards tournament purse would go to the winner.
Okay.
And then the 70th place finisher would receive 0.2% of the purse.
So I guess it depends how much they're willing to put in.
Like, this has an example. So if the purse was 5 million and 72 pros made the cut, then the 70th place golfer would get $10,000. So that's the...
Oh, and 71 and 72 didn't get nothing, though.
No, 71 and 72, after 70th place, they get $100 less than the previous position. So 71st would get $9,900, and 72nd would get $9,800. And then... And then if there's less than 70, there's no prize money awarded for the vacant positions. So, So I mean, yeah, like theoretically, I guess if the purse was, you know, that's for a $5 million purse. I mean, if you take it into a purse that maybe was like in the hundreds of thousand dollars instead of the millions of dollars, seems reasonable.
Mm-hmm. Well, Chubbs thinks that he should just train Happy Gilmore up, but Happy needs the money right now, so he refuses help from Chubbs. He decides that he gets it. And we go back to the retirement home, where Happy is proudly telling his grandma what happens. And this is a scene, God, I love Ben Stiller in this movie, where they're all quilting, and we've got the one little old lady with my fingers hurt. Yeah, well, now your back's gonna hurt, because you just pulled landscaping duty. And then switches on a dime when he sees Happy walk in. You know, it's, oh yeah, the toilet's just down the hall, dear. Wow, what a tremendous looking trophy, Mr. Gilmore. You know,
there's something about, going back to The Office, there's something about Ben Stiller's character actually that reminds me a lot of Dwight.
Yeah.
Except a little bit meaner, but a little bit more two-faced probably.
So when he tells his grandma the good news about getting into the tournament, she says, thank God I couldn't stand to live in this place another minute. And we've got Mr. Hal sticking his head around the corner and telling her to shut up.
Yeah.
Oh, Ben Stiller, God, he was so funny. But she says, oh, well, the air conditioner doesn't work. And this is where we get the Meester later coming back, because he accidentally almost kills her with the air conditioner falling out of the window. But I want to know what happened to the piece of wood, because the air conditioner is stuck in the window with wood around to fill in the hole. But when it's laying on top of the woman down below, the wood's gone and it's not lying on the grass anywhere nearby. Continuity, people.
Jeez.
Chubbs's hand was bad enough, but
I'm just remembering now that Hal comes back in Hubie Halloween. I forgot about that.
That's right. Yes. Yeah. But he wasn't as funny in that one.
No, for sure.
So Happy gets shown around the clubhouse a little bit. He meets the Gold Jacket gang, and like a little moment with Shooter. Meet us at the ninth green at 9 o'clock. Well, what's that for? Well, it's a pro secret. And it turns out to be a prank with all the sprinklers coming on and soaking him. You know, hey, dress nice. I like the Shooter.
Yeah.
He comes across Virginia and says, hey, public relations lady, where's Shooter? Well, what for? Because I want to kick his ass. And she lets him know, well, if you beat him up tonight, I have to get up tomorrow morning and talk to the papers and make a whole bunch of work for me. And so he goes, oh, well, I wouldn't want that. And as he's walking away, this is where he turns around and says, oh, by the way, my girlfriend fell off a cliff and died on impact.
That's gold.
So our first moment of this whole pro tour is the AT&T Invitational, and we see Happy giving the homeless guy his last buck. And the homeless guy is played by Alan Covert. This is Otto, we will find out. He was in Paul Blart, so many Adam Sandler movies. He was in Grandma's Boy. And this is another one kind of like Ben Stiller, where I would see Alan Covert in future Adam Sandler movies, and I never realized that he was Otto.
Like, who is he in another Adam Sandler movie?
Oh, he's, God. What's the other one with Drew Barrymore? Where the memory one? 51st Dates. In 51st Dates, he's 10-second Tom.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was trying to think, because I was just like, well, he's probably in it, but I couldn't place him at all in any of the other movies.
Oh, duh, he's the limo driver and Wedding Singer. So, yeah, there's that one. Power of facial hair, man. That's what it is.
Oh, yeah.
The handlebar mustaches, the big bushy beard. But, yeah, he goes to check in with the tournament, and they ask him what his caddy's name is. Well, you haven't provided me with one yet. So, what does he do? He gets the homeless guy to caddy for him. What does a caddy do?
I mean, the role of a caddy is kind of like, they're like your squire. It's their job to, like, you know, clean your balls and clean your clubs.
Yeah.
But they're also, like, supposed to help you with, like, decisions about what club to use based on the terrain and that kind of stuff. Like, they're kind of...
So been... they have an advisory role as well, then.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So this is where he gets paired up with Greg Potter, who is played by Kevin Nealon. And I love their introduction, though, where they each call each other psychos for different reasons, because yeah. he's all new agey and all that sort of thing. And, you know, Happy Gilmore is obviously a loose cannon, but I love how they each call each other psychos.
Yeah.
So he goes to tee off, and of course he whiffs on the first one. And I love his, like, cursing tirade that he goes on. So we go through the day of this one match. We see the bum pocketing the quarter, which is a moment I absolutely love. Shooter McGavin, though, his caddy, is that a professional golfer? I think it is, isn't it?
I'm not sure. To be honest, I don't know golf.
Okay.
I was even trying to think of, like, the Gold Jacket gang.
Yeah.
And, like, if those guys are meant to be, like, legitimate pros, because that... It just seems like a moment where it would be good to put in some...
Yeah.
Some faces that anyone who's familiar with golf would recognize.
Because we get cameos from people like Lee Trevino.
Yeah.
And Lee Trevino is one that I know, because my dad has watched a lot of golf in his day. But this guy... I think that's what the joke is here.
Okay.
And I mean, it's going to bug me, but I think that's what the joke is, because the guy gives him advice on which club he should use. And he says, yeah, you're fired, right? And I think that's the joke, is that someone that's actually a professional golfer gave him shitty advice.
Hmm.
So I think, and that's why he was only in this one scene. Oh, just Googled it. Nope. This guy's name is Jim Crescenzo, and it doesn't look like he is. Okay, my bad. That was just something. There's something about his look, I guess. I just remember hearing that, and I thought that was what the subtle joke here was.
Yeah.
But I think Kevin Nealon, though, or Potter in this case, I guess, he was the best guy that could have been paired up with Happy Gilmore on the first day, because he's so patient.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely teaches him a lot in this moment, because we get the very famous, you know, that's your ball, his bags are packed, he's got his airplane ticket, take him to the airport and send him home.
Yeah, I love I mean, someone should do a mega cut of just, like, of Adam Sandler talking to his ball.
Yeah.
Or just, and yeah, just his, like, muttering when he's,
yeah,
putting.
Yeah, you son of a bitch, stuff. Ball, so why funny. Didn't you go home? That's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me, ball! But, like, even the moment from Kevin Nealon where it's, like, doing the bull dance, feeling the flow. Yeah. So, yeah, the executives of this tour are watching it, this stuff unfold on TV, and I love the whole scene where it's like where they're bleeping him out.
Yeah.
But the boss of this PGA tour is furious, but Virginia convinces him that golf has been waiting for a player like this. I'm wondering whether he's based on John Daly, because John Daly is, like, the bad boy of golf. I'm not a big golf follower myself, but he's got a temper as well. So I'm just wondering whether Happy was kind of loosely based on John Daly.
Yeah, he kind of reminds me of John McEnroe.
Oh, the tennis, yeah, player, yeah.
Who later appears in
Big Daddy.
In Mr.
Oh,
Deeds.
Mr. Deeds, that's right, yes.
Mr. Deeds.
Well, one of the two.
Yeah, but I actually read that a lot of, like, the genesis for the idea of Happy Gilmore is actually based on a friend of Adam Sandler's who was like a guy who loved hockey and hated golf, and but could actually, like, he says that he could outdrive his dad.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of the seed, I guess, for what became Happy Gilmore.
Well, I remember several years ago I went golfing with, it was a Father's Day, I went golfing with my dad and my brother, and I have old hand-me-down clubs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not much of a golfer. And so we get to the golf course. I pull out my golf clubs, and my little brother looks at me, and he looks at my clubs, and he goes, wood clubs?
Yeah.
You have wood clubs? Because, of course, he's got these nice, like, titanium ones, yeah, or whatever. And I'm still proud of the fact, though, that I beat him that day, and he plays golf more, and he had the fancy clubs, and he mocked my wood clubs right off the day. That's one of my proud moments in life.
That's good. Good for you, man. I'll give you a clap for that. I mean, yeah, golf, I've never been into golf, but it's because I think part of it for me is it's one of those sports where, like, it seems for the people who are really into it, it really seems to be about what you spent. It's almost like, it reminds me of cars, you know, like, mm-hmm. it's like, what's the best car? The car that costs the most is probably the best car. And that's what golf is like.
Yeah.
But really with golf, it's like, yeah, I honestly think a skilled person with wood clubs can do just as good as a person with like titanium clubs.
Yeah.
And I remember like we went golfing for my friend's bachelor party, and I have a buddy who golfs a lot, and he was like telling me like, oh, you need to go and you need to buy these like Titleist V golf balls. And I looked them up and they're like, three balls is like $30, and I was like, are you fucking kidding me? And then what I ended up doing was just going to Value Village and buying a bag of golf balls for $3.
Yep.
A bag of golf balls that were probably fished from some pond.
Yeah. Well, one of the houses I lived in as a kid backed onto a golf course. So we had a couple buckets of balls in our garage growing up that were just ones that were shot into our backyard. And I think the ones that are in my golf bag are still from that. And that was from like 40 years ago some of these golf balls are from. So, yeah. No, It's not the instrument, it's the musician. That's what it is.
Yeah.
So the tournament is over. Shooter's getting his big check, and Happy says, where's my check? And they say, well, the checks are being mailed out next week. No, I need it now. Give me one of those big ones. I don't care. I love the running joke of the giant checks.
Yeah.
So he gets confronted, though, by Shooter at one point in the bar later that night. This is Shooter's tour. It's Shooter's turn. He doesn't like Happy Gilmore being on this tour. He says, you know, that he wants to beat him. And Happy smashes the bottle and he's like, yeah, no, let's do it right now. And he goes, whoa, I meant on the course. That's when Virginia walks in. And I still love the moment of what's going on here. I'm just looking for the other half of this bottle. Oh, there's some of it. There's some of it there. But Shooter tells him, just stay out of my way or you'll pay. Listen to what I say. And oh, yeah. Happy comes, how about I just go eat some hay? I can make things out of clay down by the bay. I just may. What do you say? Oh, man. Ugh. But so Virginia says, look, you know, you're almost about to get kicked off the tour. You need to start behaving. No swearing, no throwing clubs. Like, you can still have fun, but you have to behave. And then he tries to get her to go out for some food. And she says, I don't date golfers. Oh, good. I'm a hockey player. So he's working his magic. Julie Bowen is so beautiful in this movie. I mean, you know, on Modern Family, she's aged. I mean, she's still a pretty lady. But she is so gorgeous in this movie. And so opposite of what you think Adam Sandler would be able to land. Or what Happy Gilmore would be able to land, you know?
Yeah. I was going to say, like, to me, it's not, I can't remember who you're talking about with this. I think it was, who was it? I don't know. I think we were talking about it in Ferris Bueller, but
no,
to me, when I look at Julie.
See, I don't remember either. It was one where we said that the woman seemed too glamorous for.
Yeah. I don't know. I was just talking more about, like, I find Julie Bowen very beautiful,
mm-hmm.
but it's just like, in Modern Family, I've always just kind of been like, she's had so much work done.
Yeah.
That's the thing that often bothers me when I watch these. I mean, I get it. Hollywood is a very, like, ageist place, especially when it comes to, like, women.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's like, I just want to tell these women, like, the plastic isn't helping.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not doing, I don't think, what you think it's doing.
No, it's not. Secret of My Success. That was the one where we compared Christy Wills, we compared to Julie Bowen in that episode.
Oh, right. Yeah,
because Michael J. Fox was such a baby. So we now move on to the Cleveland Classic, and Mr. Larson is there to cheer him on. How's the nail? Oh, it comes out next week. Oh, well, you can hardly notice it. So then we see that Happy still has his amazing shot, and then later on, Shooter McGavin comes along and encounters Mr. Larson. Going to try to hit the green from here, Shooter? He says, that's impossible, and he's, well, why no, I beg to differ. Happy Gilmore did it just today. And good for Happy Gilmore, moron. Oh, God! And Mr. Larson bends the 9-iron in half. Hey, Shooter, you forgot your 9-iron.
This movie could have used more Larson, in my opinion. I forgot how funny he is, especially at the golf games.
Yeah. And then we start going through different invitationals. The announcers were funny as well. With the, you know, what a large and economically diverse crowd we have here at the Michelob Invitational. I think I even saw someone with one of those beer dispensing helmets. and it's his caddy. Oh, I love it. And we get some more great moments as well, like the caddy where he's like, no, I think it's slanting left. And he goes, no, it only seems that way because you're wearing one shoe. You know, things like that. Washing the... Oh, that's Florida where he's washing his underwear in the ball washer.
Having a bath in the pond. Yeah. I love that he's not only having a bath in the pond, but the fact that he has like a bottle of shampoo or soap or whatever with him.
Yeah. But yeah, throughout all these things, we see that all the people are there to see Happy Gilmore. And this is starting to piss Shooter McGavin off because, you know, like we've got Happy signing some boobs. And I love how he takes so long to sign the young, hot lady's boobs, and then the old lady comes over, and, like, he must have just put an H on there, because he really doesn't put as much detail into his autograph on her. And then we get to the Dallas Open, and again, the announcers are funny, because we've got the, uh-oh, here comes the putter throw! Oh, wait, he restrained himself! Yeah. Like, I love how they already know him well enough to say, uh-oh, here comes the putter throw.
Yeah,
and we get to the Visa Everglades Open, and this is where we get the alligator that got Chubbs' hand, because Happy hits the ball into his mouth. I always love the fight, but did you watch the deleted scenes on the DVD?
Oh, no, I didn't.
In the deleted scenes, he wrestles with the alligator for so much longer. Like, there's so many more elbow drops. Like, here it's kind of part of a montage, mm-hmm. but, but yeah, it's like at least a minute longer in the deleted scene.
Okay.
And then we have the Bell Atlantic Invitational, and this is where we find out just how mad Shooter is because he's gone to the tour president. And yeah, that Happy Gilmore is a crack-up. He's a real hoot. Ha-ha! One of his fans mooned me today. And with his name written on his ass. Just ha on one cheek, and sure enough, PPY right there on the other. Shooter McGavin! You know, oh, God. And like the, you know, I'll tell you what. There were a couple of fat, naked bikers having sex. How am I supposed to chip with that going on, Doug? Oh, my God. Happy, at this point, manages to ask Virginia on a date. Well, what did I hear about you breaking a rake and throwing it in the woods? I didn't break a rake. I was testing its durability. And then I placed it in the woods so it could be with his family. In the deleted scenes, they actually show this scene of him freaking out and breaking the rake.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So they go skating. However, and one more time, I'm going to go back to the deleted scenes here. There was actually a scene of them eating at Subway that was so commercially.
Oh, really?
Like, if you think about how much they lean into the Subway stuff later on, there was actually a scene where she, like, takes a bite of her sub, and she's like, wow, this is incredible. How did you find this place? And he's like, Subway? There's, like, 1,500 of them. So I think that would have come before they go on the skating date. I want to know in this scene, though, who's operating the spotlights? Yeah. Like, he's obviously set something up here, you know, with the Zamboni driver. But as they're skating around the ice, they've got a spotlight on them, like, coming from two different directions. Like,
I never even thought of that.
So he confesses to Virginia why he needs the money, but doesn't want her to go spreading it around. And he decides to make a bet with her. If you can get that hockey puck in that net over there, I'll leave you alone. If you miss, you gotta kiss me and pretend that you like it. So
again, he's a emotional manipulator, and that should be a red flag to any woman. You don't have to like it, but you need to pretend.
He pulls the puck out of his pocket. Do you always carry a puck with you? Yeah.
Yeah.
He just answers it so matter-of-factly. But of course, she makes the shot, and we get the line, talk about your all-time backfires. But she kisses him anyway. She likes his initiative, or something. Mm-hmm. or the emotional manipulation has worked.
Yeah.
So now we get the amazing scene of this movie. The Pepsi Pro-Am, where he is paired up with a celebrity.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about the Zamboni driver lip-syncing to Endless Love.
Oh. That is a great moment, but no, we're jumping to the Pepsi Pro-Am, and we've got Bob Barker, because everything Bob Barker does in this movie is just pure gold.
Yeah.
Absolute gold. Happy is stunned by the fact that he is teamed up with someone that isn't another golfer.
I was stunned to learn that Bob Barker is still alive.
Yeah.
I thought for sure, oh, yeah, I thought for sure he was kicking. Dead, but he's 97 going strong.
Yeah. But yeah, like just even the jabs that they take at each other, though, where it's like, I bet you get a lot of that on Let's Make a Deal. It's Price is Right. Oh, sorry, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he ends up the whole time getting some...
Heckling.
Getting heckled by Joe Flaherty, putting Happy off his game. And Bob Barker gets progressively more and more pissed off as they move down the standings. Now, I did some pausing during this scene because they keep showing the board.
Mm-hmm.
And so here's some of the last names of the celebrities for the Pepsi Pro-Am. We've got Ford, Harrison, Black, Douglas, Christian, Grant, Jones, Little, Lee, as in L-E-I-G-H, Davis, Johnson, Cook, Lee, as in L-E-E, Harris, Mitchell, Pennington, Healy, which I would find that hilarious if that was Jeff Healy.
Yeah.
And Howard, Mills, Shepherd, Hamill, Von Den, Lawson, Robertson, Smith, Williams, Windsor, and Gunn. So I'm wondering, like, whether they were actually trying to pick real names of celebrities or whether these are like crew members that they just put, you know, their name as a joke.
Yeah, I don't know, because I also like took a look as that scene, as they those scenes were playing out, and I was kind of shocked that there wasn't anyone like clear.
Yeah,
you know, like there was no like Brad Pitt or
yeah
or Eddie Murphy or like
yeah
it didn't seem like they really put thought into putting people that any lay person would see and be like, oh, haha, funny, like those two people are together, like McGavin's with, I don't know, Jay Leno or something like that.
I'm trying to think of
who would golf, but yeah, that is a good point. I wonder if they were crew members. That would be a fun thing to do.
Yeah,
or even like putting like Sandler's friends, like,
yeah,
I feel like if they made that movie today, you would see like Farley and like Meadows and Spade.
Yeah. Oh, and Schneider. Definitely Schneider.
And Schneider, yeah.
But yeah, as they're playing, yeah, he's getting worse and worse, and we've got like the "Don't push me, Bob," and "This guy sucks," and "Just tap it in nice and easy." That was not nice and easy. I love Bob Barker's lines.
Yeah.
But then Happy Gilmore gets into a fist fight with Bob Barker. And "The price is wrong, bitch." A line that was said for years after this movie came out. And I mean, I remember like Bob Barker was still hosting Price is Right at the time. And you would see people that came in with Happy Gilmore related t-shirts sitting in the audience.
Yeah, that has to be one of the most iconic comedy scenes of all time, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. But there's the moment where they've rolled down the hill and you know, he knocks Bob Barker out, and then Bob Barker is lying on the grass, and the way he grabs Happy Gilmore by the neck and his eyes open, there's just something very Terminator about the way that he does that. Like, very robotic. Yeah. It's like, who is Bob Barker? Is he a robot?
I always love after Bob Barker like knocks Happy out by kicking him in the face, how when he's walking away, he still like takes the time to do some like shadow boxing.
Yeah. Now you've had enough, bitch. And I remember the joy when I first heard that line, where I'm like, Bob Barker said bitch. The have your pet spayed and neutered guy said, bitch, I love it. And not in the context of spaying your animal.
I think it would have been funnier if he would have just said, have your pet spayed and neutered, bitch, and then gone, and then walked away.
I find it interesting that Drew Carey has kept that tradition, though.
Yeah.
He closes the show out with the same catchphrase. It's like, find your own, Drew Carey. Come on, man. But I guess Bob Barker did it long enough.
Yeah.
But yeah, Shooter is so happy. It couldn't have gone better. Instead of hitting the heckler, he beat up a game show host. And so they think that Happy's going to get kicked off the tour, but instead he gets fined $25,000 and suspended for 1 month. They want to keep him around because the tour is getting the best ratings that it's ever had. And so to take away some of the sting, Happy goes to Subway. So while they're eating Subway, the way that Happy is talking about his sub gives Virginia an idea. She gets a Jimmy Neutron brain blast. And so he does his delicious, tasty, meaty, turkey-filled, cold-cut combo commercial. And then it cuts to a commercial of Subway where he's basically giving the same speech. And I love that when he drives the sub, mm-hmm. you know, like they say, Happy, can I get one? And he's like, you got it. And he hits the sub. I love how it makes the same whooshing sound effect that the ball makes every time he hits it. Like, yeah. I don't even understand what this sound is. It's almost like there's a bit of a grunt, there's a bit of a whoosh, and there's a bit of a, like, pew, yeah. almost. Like,
yeah, it's like, it sounds like a jet.
Yeah.
Like it's like, people know that jets go fast, so we'll make it sound like a jet because that sounds fast.
Yeah, and then it's as it's flying through the air, yeah, it's the as it's going. But we've got a commercial here. There isn't a better time for Sponsorship Corner. Well, always on the lookout for product placements in movies. This may be the biggest one I've seen so far. Whew, here we go. This week, Happy Gilmore is brought to you by Subway, Pepsi, Budweiser, Michelob and O'Doul's Beer, Sherwood CCM and Louisville Hockey Equipment, Eureka Hearses, Cadillac, Buick and Volkswagen Cars, Cap'n Crunch Cereal, Top Flight, Wilson and TaylorMade Golf Equipment, Odyssey Putters, Lacoste, Converse, Force, and Greg Norman Apparel, ESPN and the Golf Channel, AT&T and Bell Atlantic, Motorola, Visa, AC/DC, and Golf Digest Magazine, plus the sports teams the Boston Bruins, Hartford Whalers, Chicago Blackhawks, Buffalo Sabres, Toronto Maple Leafs, Quebec Nordiques, Vancouver Canucks, Duke Blue Devils, and the Minnesota Moose. And, of course, a special shout-out to Jesse's Moving Company, Silver Acres Rest Home, the Westbury Golf Club, Happy Land Mini Golf, and Gene Simmons from KISS. And this has been Sponsorship Corner.
Holy.
Yeah, I know. Like, between all the different sports equipment that was in this movie and yeah the sponsors on all the tournaments, yeah, it was unbelievable this week. So the one thing I also love about, you know, him doing this commercial is not only did he get the $25,000, but he also got a Subway for Life card.
Yeah,
I want one of those cards. I want to take like a screenshot of this moment and you know, print one off and see if it actually works at a Subway restaurant.
I sometimes wonder if these cards are real.
Yeah.
Like for life.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember we were watching MTV's The Challenge from a few years ago, and they had a competition where these people won like these Burger King rewards cards that I'm pretty sure they got a Whopper. Like they got Whoppers for life.
Jeez.
Like one Whopper, and it's like one Whopper a day.
Yeah. I do love just how old school everything Subway is in this movie, though.
Mm-hmm.
The sandwiches are still cut with the old V-shaped top, and the restaurant has like the yellow benches and the New York newspaper Subway map wallpaper. I miss that old Subway. The nostalgia was wonderful for me in this one.
Yeah.
So they're going to save Grandma's house, and they get there and find out that there is actually going to be an auction. I love how dangling from his mirror in his car is pictures of his grandma.
Yeah.
Like, he's such a grandma's boy. I love it. But they think, oh, this might be good. He might be able to get it back cheaper. But someone outbids him, And of course, it's Shooter McGavin, because he took the information about his grandma's house and decided to exploit it. But he says he'll give the house back if he quits. And Happy says, fine, I quit. But this is when Virginia steps in. Oh no, he doesn't. He says, what? I'm not a golfer. She tries to convince him that he is, because when he says, I'm a hockey player, she says, oh yeah, what team do you play for? Ooh, ouch. That one stings. But so Happy decides, no, he's going to be Shooter on the course. And Shooter says, fine, I eat pieces of shit like you for breakfast. And Happy says, you eat pieces of shit for breakfast? No. The greatest no in all of cinema has to be this. This one from Shooter McGavin. So Happy realizes that he's got to learn how to putt. So he goes back to Chubbs and starts begging for Chubbs to help him. And I love how he's like, you were right, I was wrong. I don't even remember what they all are. But I love how the last one is when he says, you're handsome, I'm not at all attractive. And this is when Chubbs cuts him off and goes, okay, as long as we have that clear. Like, he waited for the one where he was told that he was handsome. I did notice in the scene, though, where he's begging for Chubbs to help him, there's a trophy behind him with, like, a big black nameplate on it.
Okay.
But there's nothing written on the trophy. I find it odd. Like the nameplate is blank.
They weren't expecting someone with such a keen eye as you to be looking beyond the action.
Yeah. The props department just wasn't on their game in this movie. I mean, there's his fake hand and there's... But I also love how it's, like, 2 months later and this is when Chubbs is gluing his hand back together.
Yeah.
Like, he's been on a dozen different, you know, golf courses. Like, I'd have to say that at least a month has passed at this point. And this is when Chubbs is gluing his hand back together.
Yeah. It's also, like, the hand just looks so garbage. Like, I almost feel like the hand looks so terrible that why would you even bother having one? Like, I feel like you would just...
Yeah.
You might as well just be better served to, like, wrap
with the stump.
Yeah.
So, Chubbs takes him to Happy Land Mini Golf. Oh my god, I've always loved this mini golf course. I wish a mini golf course like this actually existed, because I've never found one this amazing.
No.
There's been a few good ones but nothing that even compares with Happy
Land. Yeah, I've never been to a big mini golf course like that, where they have, like, those really big windmills and really big kind of, like, obstacles and that kind of stuff. I've been to only ones that have small, like, small obstacles.
Yeah, a couple pieces of wood that you have to try to bank it around and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, Happy's not happy. This is embarrassing. I'm a professional golfer, for God's sake. No, it's your short game that's embarrassing. So, in this scene is one of the moments where we get one of Lee Trevino's cameos. I'm just wondering, did they just film them all at once? They always seem like stock footage. He's never in the same shot as Happy Gilmore. Like, there's one where he's standing on a golf course shaking his head. There's the one where, you know, he says Grizzly Adams did have a beard. You know, and so there's this one, and then the one when Chubbs falls out of the window. Like, they're both just these, yeah... him shaking his head.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it, I guess. I mean, it could be that, like, they filmed the movie and then afterwards were trying to find somebody to, like, somebody relevant from the sport to be in it.
Yeah.
And just did, like, added the scenes kind of afterwards, right?
That might have been, yeah. And I love, after we've just had the line of, it's embarrassing, I'm a professional golfer, for God's sake, Lee Trevino is also here playing golf, so come on. Come on, buddy. It's good enough for Lee Trevino. And we get the, you're gonna die, clown line. I love that one. But, okay, so the earthquake hole. They get to the last hole called the impossible hole. I don't understand how this could legitimately be played. Like, he finds the clever way around it, but I can't expect that this is the solution to this hole, is to bank it off the sign and down the track in the on the hillside and everything like that. Like,
yeah,
what is the secret to this hole?
I'm not sure, I mean... Clearly, what he does is the right way to play it, but, like, I mean, I feel like it'd be hard. If banking the ball off, like, off an object is involved in actually being successful in the hole, I feel like that needs to be stated
yeah.
ahead of time.
this is where Chubbs teaches Happy to go to his happy place. And we get sexy Virginia with her two pitchers of beer, and we get Grandma winning at a slot machine, and a little person on a tricycle. What is such a messed up happy place, but hey, it gets him there.
Yeah, I don't understand the dwarf, the cowboy dwarf, where that comes from. It almost seems offensive.
That's what I'm wondering. Yeah, like it just, who knows? But we find out that Chubbs is proud of him, and he has gotten him a gift. It's his old putter, but it's been modified, and it now looks like a little hockey stick. And Happy says, oh, well, I got a present, too. Remember the alligator that got your hand? Well, I got his head! And it scares Chubbs out the window, and Chubbs dies. But there's a weird cut here, too, where he's like, where it's obviously some ADR work, where it's like, I got his head, is obviously something that wasn't filmed at the time. Just over the box. Yeah, it was just, it's a weird cut.
Yeah.
So at the next tournament, we get a bit of a, I don't know, dick measuring contest between Shooter and Happy, where they're both trying to call playing in Chubbs's honor for this tournament. I don't understand the little memorial set up to Chubbs at this tournament.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I understand like why they would have it, but the candle with the hand sitting in front of his picture, like he wasn't buried with his fake hand.
I don't know. Is that a thing with like somebody who's an amputee? Is there a thing about keeping their limb in effigy in this memorial? Like,
yeah,
because what are you gonna do with that hand afterwards? I don't know. Somebody just take it home.
Yeah,
Happy uses it as like a club cover.
Well, I was thinking more of a doorstop.
Or that, yeah.
Just wedge those fingers in under the door. But in a twist that surprises no one, for the last tournament, Shooter and Happy are paired together. And so, of course, Shooter is trying to get under his skin. You know, he's got design ideas for Grandma's house. He's going to make Happy's old room into his trophy room. The trash talking between Shooter and Happy is so great. Like, I'm glad they were paired up together. I mean, obviously, that's how the movie was going to go. But the banter between them is so great. Like, when Happy drives and he says, you know what the pathetic thing is? You've been playing golf your whole life. You know, like it just, and then later on with the, you know, Happy learned how to putt. Uh-oh, or the somebody's closer, you know?
Yeah.
I've always loved the Happy-isms. Or there's the one where he makes the shot that goes up the curve and back down. I didn't see that. Did it go in? I wasn't watching. Did it go in the hole?
Yeah.
So on the last day of the tournament, Happy gets hit by a car. The whole Volkswagen. But just before he gets hit by the car, when Virginia sees him coming, she's got such a weird delivery of her, Happy, look out! Yeah. Like, it's just how she says it, it's just so weird. I don't know.
It's also just that, like, that car has a long way to drive.
Yeah.
And nobody is reacting. Like, I don't know. I feel like at a professional golf tournament, if I saw somebody just driving on the golf course, I might be a little bit concerned.
Yeah, that would probably be something that was broadcast over walkie-talkies of, hey, guys, you know, they've got all the shush guys. They must all have walkie-talkies on them or something.
Yeah.
But after getting hit by a car, Happy decides he's going to continue, but we find out that he's human after all because his shoulder is messed up and he doesn't have his power drive anymore. Is it just because it's sore, or like, did he have some sort of like, was this a rookie of the year situation where he had some sort of magic shoulder going on before he got hit by the car?
Yeah. No, I don't think there's any supernatural ability going on here.
Okay.
I think it's just your routine sports injury.
Yeah. He starts losing even when he tries to go to his happy place. Shooter is there now, and the kiss mask makes a return where he's making out with Grandma, and like the way he has to feed Gene Simmons' tongue into his mouth is very very porny to me, you know? It's
yeah.
Yeah, and so as Happy continues to lose, he starts to get more frustrated. I love when he throws his putter though, and like the bum is just there to catch it. Like, you know, I love that moment. But Grandma shows up. So she hasn't been invited to any of the other days. He starts losing, and that's when they call in the big guns of Grandma. Like, why hasn't she been there the whole time to support her grandson?
Yeah, I thought that too. It didn't make any sense. It was like Virginia was just like, oh, Happy's in trouble. He needs his grandma now more than ever.
Sends up the grandma signal in the sky, and Grandma comes rushing in.
I love Shooter's line. When he comes over and he's like, hey, stop talking to the help.
But yes, Grandma tells him that the house isn't important. She just wants him to be happy. And he is able to get back to his happy place, which has been restored. And Chubbs is there. And he got his hand back. He shouldn't be upset. And he sings, we've only just begun. And so Happy is all better now. He gets his ball back out of the woods. And he says to Shooter, as I see it, we've only just begun, Shooter. So it's on now.
Yeah.
And we start getting this montage with this weird dance music that's happening. But there's this one background character, or this one guy that gets one line during this montage, which is the worst delivered line of all time. And I just wonder whether this guy was someone that knew someone or someone that was famous, because he's the guy that yells, hey, Happy, the gold jacket's yours. Shooter's going to choke.
Yeah.
But just the way, and I mean, Shooter does choke, but like just the way he delivers is, it's just like, it just makes me wonder, like, is this a famous football player that I don't know that they're like, oh yeah, let's give him a line in this movie. Let's give him a cameo. I wish I knew.
Yeah, I wonder. It wouldn't surprise me if it was just like a family member of somebody in the cast.
Oh, like Carl Weathers, you know, son or something like that. Yeah.
I'm just on Reddit right now and there's no confirmation of this, but this person says that there's an old urban legend that that guy won a Subway sandwich competition to be in the film.
That makes sense. Okay, that makes even more sense than just knew someone. Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
you hear about contests where people win a walk-on role in something. Huh, right on. But we get to the last hole, and they are tied because Happy Gilmore has made up some ground. And so as we're on the last hole, the tour president comes over, Doug comes over, and he makes an announcement at the last hole about if you tie at the end of this hole, it goes to sudden death. I just wonder, is this something that they would actually do in a tournament where one of these guys is clearly going to be who wins it? That they must be far enough ahead, but like just the announcement at the hole of saying, well, if it ends in a tie, we go to sudden death. It just...
I mean, I don't know. No, because I've seen people share, like, at the Masters, I've seen people share the green jacket before, like, when they've tied.
Oh, well, the gold jacket must be different then.
I mean, yeah, maybe the gold jacket is different. But yeah, I wonder, I mean, I don't know, sudden death. It's also, like, it's kind of funny because sudden death is such a hockey thing.
Yeah.
As well, right? Like, the sudden death overtime type thing. So, I don't know.
Maybe it's just put in for foreshadowing to make sure that you know what's at stake here.
It's almost a bit of a red herring, in my opinion, because they make you seem like it's going to come down. Like, in any movie I've ever watched, when sudden death is on the table, it goes to sudden death, because that's just, like, the height of drama.
Yeah.
It's very strange that in this movie, I mean, the whole tower falling in its own way is its own sudden death type thing, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, watching it, I just kind of thought it was odd that they would even mention sudden death. Like, it would have made more sense maybe... Well, not that it would have made sense, but it's just like, if this was a real tournament, I don't really think in golf people necessarily prepare for a tie.
Yeah. Well, and of course, we get a little bit more foreshadowing, too, because the announcers reiterate the fact that a car hit the control tower on the 18th hole.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we make sure that we remind people that, wait a minute, this structure might not be sound.
Yeah.
But as they're playing, Shooter's ball ends up landing on Mr. Larson's foot. And we get the line, is this your ball? It struck my foot. So, yeah, they get a judge's decision here from Doug, where they decide that, no, he has to play it where it lies. I don't think that would be true in this case.
No.
I think he really would get a drop. the one in a trillion chance of it actually landing and staying on someone's foot. I mean, it's such an unbelievable situation.
It's also like there's liability involved. You're a professional sports organization.
Yeah.
I don't feel like you're going to take the chance that your golfer might miss and just smack somebody in the shin with a golf club.
Well, and then on top of it, though, like they make him shoot it off his foot. But what about the alligator earlier when it landed in the alligator's mouth?
Oh, yeah.
How come he was able to, like, go elbow deep in the alligator's mouth to get his ball back? He should have had to hit it off the alligator's tongue.
Yeah, I mean, the play at where it lies rule to me is it's a very generous rule.
Yeah.
Because even like, in a couple minutes when the thing falls over and Happy is forced to play the ball mm-hmm. where it lies.
Yeah.
He will play it where it lies, but that doesn't mean the contraption has nothing to do, like the tower mm-hmm. has nothing to do with where it lies.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be, and the rules shouldn't state, like, we have to leave the tower there
mm-hmm.
before for the putt to occur. Like, that, we don't have to play it where the tower lies, you play the ball where it lies.
Yeah.
So it seemed ridiculous to me that they would equate apples to oranges, basically, in these, even though I agree with you, I think Shooter should have been able to move the ball off yeah. of the person's foot.
Yeah. Well, and see, I mean, the tower here, that brings up another question. How come they didn't do any cleanup on the tower at all? Like, they left the Volkswagen there with this dangerously broken pipe that's, like, on its hood. How come no tour officials came out and, like, you know, strapped a new pole to the bottom of that before it had a chance to fall? Yeah. Like, I, you know, they didn't secure the area. Like, they just left it damaged.
Yeah. It's also like, you had an attempted vehicular homicide. That's yeah. a crime scene now.
Yeah,
like,
people that too.
People shouldn't be there.
But yeah, we do get the moment where the tower falls because people are trying to climb the tower to get a better view of the green. And no, Shooter complains. He has to play it where from where it lies because I had to shoot it off Frankenstein's fat foot over there. And so, well, those are the rules. But it just ends up being the earthquake hole all over again. Because I love that they did at least bring back the sudden death.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because she says, no, just hit it around. We'll go to sudden death. And he's, no, I'll just beat him now.
Yeah.
But as the ball is, like, going back and forth across the pipes, the way that the crowd is all looking back and forth as it's going, like, there weren't that many ramps for it to be going down for them to be looking back and forth that many times.
Yeah.
But Happy ends up sinking it. He wins. He gets the gold jacket. They're preparing to put it on Happy, and Shooter steals it because he's a sore loser. And I enjoy the fact that they obviously don't have Richard Keel chasing after Shooter
yeah.
for real. Because, like, the crowd scenes, it's just a whole bunch of, like, generic people. Because you can tell, like, Richard Keel, like, he's getting old at this point. You can tell, like, he's leaning on things. I think he was having trouble standing by himself.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like how Peter Mayhew in, like, the more recent Star Wars has decided to retire halfway through the new Star Wars and give it to someone else because he was just having trouble doing some of the Chewbacca stuff anymore. So it's that height thing. I think he was pretty crippled by this point, Richard Keel was.
That's actually really funny from, well, not funny, but it's like that aspect of it isn't funny, but I have like a Mandela effect in my brain with this scene because even watching it this time around, I swear that I remember seeing Larson come over the hill.
Yeah.
And like behind Shooter.
Yeah, because he's like going, oh, yeah, because it's all in slow motion. Yeah.
But watching it now, it's like, it is really only that you see the whole group chasing him.
Yeah.
But there's only that one scene where it's just kind of fixed on him. And then then it cuts back to Shooter and you just kind of hear him being pummeled and stuff like that.
Yeah. And because it's in slow motion, like, it's possible that they might have just been walking at that moment and he was swinging his arms extra exaggerated to make it look like he was running. And they made him take, like, four steps or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't get a stunt double like they did for Bob Barker. But they get the house back and they pull up to the house. They pop some champagne. I guess Otto is just going to live with him now or something. I don't know. That's what it looks like. I like how Otto is still kind of the same old Otto, But he's combed his hair and he's put on the fancy jacket, but he's still looking very homeless. And I like how throughout the movie, like, they really don't change who Otto is. Like, mm-hmm. he uses the tracker as the ball marker. And yeah. like the fact that he was bathing and he must be getting paid at this point or something. But I like Otto's story arc.
Yeah.
And we get the ghosts of Chubbs and the alligator and Lincoln waving at them from over the house. And the end. That is Happy Gilmore. So, Colin, on IMDb, it scored 7.0 out of 10, has a Metascore of 31. On Rotten Tomatoes, it has 62% on the tomato meter, and an audience rating of 85%. But, Colin, those are just numbers. Like a Volkswagen racing down a fairway. Hit us with some reviews.
All right, let's go to the people of Rotten Tomatoes. So, first up is James M. 4 out of 5 stars, he says. Happy Gilmore is one of the few enjoyable Adam Sandler flicks. As a comedy, it works pretty well to provide laughs, but the real quality of this movie comes through the story. The heartwarming, touching storyline follows a wannabe hockey player hothead develop into a golfing, decent sportsman. From relatable characters to laugh-out-loud moments, Happy Gilmore is a rememberable hour and a half that I would recommend to any quote-unquote wacky comedy fan.
They actually wrote rememberable?
Rememberable. I'm not sure that's a real word. But...
No, I don't think that is at all. Rememberable. Wow. How did that one get past your spell check, buddy? Oh, James, 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 if you're listening, rememberable is not a word. It's memorable.
Yeah, exactly. next up is EC, 5 out of 5 stars. I love this review. They say, this is my favorite Adam Sandler film of all time. And it's my favorite sports comedy film as well. It is really funny. Adam Sandler did a great job in this film. It is also one of my favorite comedy films of the 1990s. So I'm just imagining that EC has like a notebook of like very specific categories of film top tens.
Yeah.
of which Happy Gilmore is on 3.
I wonder if he has sub lists as well.
Yeah.
You know, like, is it, you know, the best of 90s and then the best of 96? And
yeah. Yeah. Luca B, 4 out of 5 stars, says, an inspiring, inspirational, and satirical sports comedy that makes a juvenile but edgy approach on professional golf, anchored by a goofy but hilarious lead performance from Adam Sandler and one of its best comedic works. I feel like he meant to say in one of his best comedic works. Or he was just trying to be gender neutral, I'm not sure, but
yeah.
it's a very like highbrow review of a Adam Sandler movie. This next one is the only like not glowing review I could find. It's from Nick K, 1.5 out of 5 stars. He says, not a good movie. It actually foreshadows what Sandler's movies would later become, mean-spirited, slapstick-filled movies that are extremely juvenile for PG-13 movies, with weak plots, with some really bizarre side characters, and acts mostly as a way for Sandler to hang out with his buddies and work at the same time. Its only highlights are Bob Barker's cameo, the heckler, and the mini-golf course scene. Other than that, Sandler really is a jackass in this, as he usually is.
Oh.
Yeah, the very last one I have is from an unnamed person who gave it 5 out of 5 stars and says, the greatest non-baseball sports movie of all time, period. I'll be at the Sizzler if you want to try and change my mind. God bless. And those are the reviews for the week.
Outstanding. Yeah, so we've got 7.0 and 85 from the audience and 62 and 31 from the critics. Where does it fall for you?
Yeah, my mind hasn't really changed on this movie at all. I think, like you pointed out, there are definitely more, like, continuity errors and, like, weird, I don't know, just, it's like, yeah, mostly continuity stuff and just weird scene things that are happening that don't really make sense when you think about them for too long.
Yeah.
But on the whole, Happy Gilmore, to me, it's like, I would stamp it as, like, a classic movie in my mind, especially like a classic comedy.
Yeah.
It would be pretty difficult to remove it from, you know, my top 10 list of favorite comedies for sure. if I were to give it a percentage, I would say that it falls probably, like, I'd probably side with, like, the fans on Rotten Tomatoes, like, around that 80% mark.
Yeah, that was kind of what I was going to say, too, is, yeah, this is still an 80-85% movie for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's stupid. Like, if I wanted to get really critical about it, yeah, no, it's a flawed movie.
Yeah.
But it still makes me laugh, and, yeah.
Watch it, yeah. I was going to say, watching it on this go-round, I was surprised that it wasn't... It definitely is flawed, but there's nothing about it that was cringy. Sometimes when I go back to, like, the comedy movies of the 90s, I expect a certain level of, like, cringe viewing it with today's eyes.
Yeah, and you did point out one possibility where the little person on a tricycle, where it's like, is that offensive?
Yeah.
I mean, the guy accepted the job, so maybe not. I don't know, it just... Just a bizarre choice. Like, I think they just wanted something random. It's like the ghost of Abe Lincoln showing up at the end.
Yeah.
Like, what does this have to do with anything? It's just nonsense for pure nonsense sake.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's a sports movie I love, but yeah, I agree with you where I say this is still, it's a top 10 comedy for me as well. I don't think it'll ever change.
No.
It's dumb, and it's, you get what you get with Happy Gilmore, but... You'll probably still get a laugh, even if it's just watching Bob Barker kick his ass.
Mm-hmm.
The one review said that. That is a great moment, so.
Yeah.
Well, there we go. That's Happy Gilmore, and that's our show for this week. If you like that show, well, one thing you can do to really help us out is tell your friends. We are building this podcast from the ground up. We don't have celebrity status, so every new person that you tell and we can get listening to this show is huge for us. Or if you want to go above and beyond and tell the world, go on to whatever app it is you listen to your podcasts on and give us 5 stars. It doesn't matter what you say. You could say, the price is wrong. But it's those 5 stars that drive us up the charts, and they help us get noticed.
And if you want to get in touch with us, we can be reached by email at iusedtolikethisone@gmail.com. Let us know what movies you used to like, and then maybe you'll find us reviewing them on the show. Maybe you can be a guest on the show. The possibilities are endless. Also, be sure to check out our website, www.iusedtolikethisone.com. There you can find links to all our podcast episodes, as well as our social media. Be sure to check out our Facebook, our Instagram, our Twitter for all of Sean's hilarious memes. Give him some likes, give him some comments, show him some love, show me some love. Join in the fun.
And if you would like to be a producer of the show, we provide free entertainment here, but if you want to donate to us and help keep the show running, you can go to patreon.com/iusedtolikethisone and become part of our Patreon community. I Used to Like This One is created by, hosted by, and produced by Sean Wells and Colin Stewart. It is edited by Sean Wells, music by Lyndon Carter. Look for his band Carter in the Capitals anywhere you listen to music. Thank you for listening, and join us next week when we take a look at another movie on I Used to Like This One.